face down, ass up. That's the way we like to podcast. It's Corey and Joel.
Hey everybody, Corey and Joel back. Welcome, welcome. Starting the show with a little fall. That's always good.
Yeah, well, it's the just fall. About that time.
Well, it is the fall because it's after Labor Day.
Well, officially it starts sometime.
But this is the fall. The band.
When is the autumnal equinox, Joel?
Well, I think the end of summer is officially September 21st or something. This Nation's Saving Grace from 1985. You're listening to that.
These hippies I went to high school with used to have, like, equinox parties.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have a solstice and an equinox.
Can you balance an egg or something on the equinox?
Is that the story?
Something about that, yeah.
What do you mean? Like, it floats?
No, you can balance an egg because it means that
the gravitational fields are aligned in the chakras. Are all
well,
connected.
To the hippies it means that. What it really means, I believe, is that the Earth is straight up and down on its axis.
Yeah.
In other words, and the sun is directly over the equator. And apparently that has something to do with the poles or something. And right. It allows like an egg to balance, but it's only one day a year.
Yeah.
Where you can like...
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's some weird thing like that.
When are the poles going to reverse? Because that's going to be crazy.
I don't know.
You know, like probably every several thousand years, they just randomly reverse.
I think it's several
reverse,
thousand years
right?
It takes for the poles.
Well, we never know when it's going to happen, though. It could just flip one day.
It could happen in the middle of the show.
Yeah, and we'd be like, what the shit
I
was
that? I don't know
that?
What that would affect
I
us.
I don't really know.
I think the compass would point the wrong direction, but aside from that,
yeah.
I don't know. Let's try to get through the show without the poles reversing.
Let's hope. Speaking of poles, I went to the Hamtramck Fest the other day.
Okay, how was that?
Well, it was, you know, there's a little enclave of hardcore poles that just won't go away in Hamtramck, continually being surrounded.
It's about, I think there's about seven of them. I mean, there's literally, it's down to the...
There's a few.
Dozens, I
no,
think.
No, I mean, there's, yeah, but they're being surrounded by Yemenis.
Exactly. They're exactly everything
pace.
Else under the
it's
sun.
It's Yemenis and hipsters, and that's what goes on over there. So, it was kind of sad, the Hamtramck Festival, I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
I had a deep fried Oreo, though, so that
okay,
was good.
Okay, that
good.
Should make you feel good.
No, it should make me
That's
feel awful.
That's how you spent your Labor Day.
God. Yeah. Labor Day. Woo! Yeah. What'd you do for your Labor Day, Joel?
I went to a family thing, and then I was kind of under the weather, and then I worked on some stuff. I just was under the weather, so I left after, like, I was there a couple hours. I wasn't feeling good. I was all congested and feeling lousy, and I was sitting in my aunt's house with no air conditioning.
Yeah.
Like, she has air conditioning, but she doesn't run it. She just decided that was a good day because it was only 88 or 89 degrees on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Why air condition the house? So I was
bizarre.
Sitting in there somewhat sick. And then I had a lot of stuff to work on for the show, believe it or not.
Well, air conditioning costs money, Joel.
I know. But I did end up, when I got done with that, though, I came home and worked on the show. Stuff for the show, not this particular show.
Yeah.
There was no effort put into this show, but other things around the show.
Why would we put effort in now?
But Corey knows what I'm talking about. I worked on other things.
Yes.
Around the show.
Joel is, he's got a project underway in which he is doing an interpretive dance step routine to Louisa May Alcott's Little Women. And it's a beautiful thing he's been working on.
And Dill can keep waiting for that for a long time.
He's actually recreating the Battle of Agincourt with WWF action figures. It's going to be amazing. The Rougeaus are the
if
French
I
generals.
If that would get us a job somewhere, I'd probably do that.
Oh,
I did
yeah.
So I really spent a lot of time doing that on Monday.
Well, what's with people who won't turn the air conditioning on in Michigan? There's about 15 days a year that are actually hot enough to merit air conditioning.
There was some logic of, well, we're going to be on the patio,
yeah.
Which means some people are going to be going through the door a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going through the door a lot, you can't have the air
conditioning. I'm not trying to cool out this hole outside.
Yeah, it was some
weird.
It was like, I don't know. She's an old lady. She's just, I don't know.
But old ladies are what air conditioning's made for.
Well, it was just an annoying
thing.
I had
a great aunt who lived in Kentucky, and the air conditioning was on from, I'm going to guess, April. Kentucky's warmer.
Yeah.
But it was on from about April to November. It was, you know.
You know what? I'm a fan of air conditioning, and I have no problem with it, and I'm not one of those. It depends on how cool you can get the room without it. And if you can, if you have a ceiling fan or something, you'll be okay. But when you have a certain condition.
Last summer, I did not have AC for a large portion of the summer, and it blew my,
Well, it depends. It depends on how, like, okay, my house, my new house, to quote the fall. My dining room, living room, and that stays relatively cool because there's a lot of windows.
Sure.
And you turn a fan on, and like, there's not a huge need for air conditioning. You're not, you don't spend all day in there anyway.
Yeah.
But like, my bedroom has like no attic, and it's a flat roof above it, and it gets incredibly steaming hot.
Yeah.
And so you absolutely need. So I have a room air conditioner for that room, and the room air conditioner does its job, and I run it, and it doesn't cost a ton of money a month. It's probably, I'm guessing it's about between $5 and $10 a month to run it, like as much as I need to run it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's worth the money.
Yeah. My electrical bill was $30 last month. I'm like, I'll turn on the air.
Yeah, I mean, the air conditioning, depending upon, I mean, if you have a like a central air in a large house and it's on all the time, yeah, that's going to cost, you know, a couple.
Well,
I would say $20, $30, $40 a month.
We have two.
A dollar or two a day.
We have two units in our apartment. We have one in the bedroom and one in the front.
Yeah.
And they both work really well, but the one in the bedroom, it, since it's tiny, well, like, you know, I turn it on because I'm hot and I can't sleep hot. I'm a fat man.
No, I hear
it's
you.
It's hot.
I like to sleep hot.
Sleeping
either.
In the summer kind of blows.
Exactly.
I kind of love when the fall comes around and you can actually just, you know, not Mark E. Smith in the fall, but, you know, when you can actually sleep. During the evening, and, you know, so I put on the air conditioner, but Amy, meanwhile, is like,
she's too
cold. Well, it does get cold in there, but, like, she'll bitch.
So you would like to sleep with the AC on all night.
Well, the problem is I don't, because it does, about
midway through.
But you
have a low
through,
setting on
it?
Yeah,
I know. It's really powerful. It's very hard to get it right.
All
right. Because in the middle of the night, it will be like, Jesus Christ, you could, you know, chill meat in there.
Yeah.
So anyway. Wow. Right. Air conditioning.
There it is.
I did not go to the state fair.
I thought you were going. You called me and said, I'm going to
the
state fair.
We ended up going to the Hamtramck Festival instead.
I don't know that that's a huge difference. I mean, there is in some way.
Well, there's you know, there's livestock at the state fair.
Well, it depends. What are you going to do at the state fair? If you're not going to go on the rides, you're not going to go to the entertainment.
There's more exotic wildlife in human form at the Hamtramck Festival.
Exactly. It's a bunch of people walking around eating awful fried food.
Yeah.
And you can get that at the Hamtramck
Deep
Festival
fried
for free. Or you can pay to get that.
There's more stuff to see at the state fair. It's obviously larger. You can see the butter cow if you want.
Yeah, but if you don't want to see that.
No, and I've seen it all. And Amy had not gone. That's why.
She's never been in
the state
fair? I'll
tell you what, though. Taking chicks to the state fair is a good move.
Why is that?
They love it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I don't have any
but
work.
But you didn't take her. How would you know?
You know what? Oh, because I've taken other girls to the
state fair. All right.
Look, I got no work to do here. I live with this one. All right? You know what I'm saying? I don't.
All right.
But I've taken other girls to the state fair, and they freak the freak out. They go nuts.
Really?
Oh, God. Taking girls who go, you know, girls who go to Ivy League colleges, I've taken to the state fair.
See, I would see
and
taking a girl
to the state fair.
Flip
out over
the
little
fair.
Chickens.
Yeah, but there's like 50,000 black guys staring at their ass every minute.
Girls like that. They're not like
I don't
you,
know.
Joel.
I'm not.
Girls
I'm
enjoy
not,
that.
No, I don't think that's good.
You know, I know when black guys look at your ass, you get a little uncomfortable.
I find the state fair somewhat reprehensible. I find it...
you find most human endeavor
no,
reprehensible.
The state fair in particular. The Hamtramck Festival I'm sort of fond of because I used to go to that a lot.
Yeah, it was...
Like when I lived there, I went every year, and even before that, I went.
It was vaguely sad this year.
I haven't gone in a while.
It was not as many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little blunt. Well, they've got this stupid Arts, Beats, and Eats in Pontiac.
Yes, which went to that too.
I went to that. That sucked because it was 90 that day. And just relentless sun.
Yeah.
And it was just not cool. It was just, that was just like, wow, this sucks. I'm uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
And that's, Pontiac's much narrower than Hamtramck. Like downtown Hamtramck is what? Like a 4-lane highway, 5-lane highway?
Yeah, Arts, Beats, and Eats is more restricted than that.
Well, it's
narrower. The main drag.
Streets are narrower. So there's
but isn't
more...
there isn't there more of like a park area type deal where like bands play? Isn't there more of a
yeah, but most
of
it
space?
Most of it is right down that downtown
down
Pontiac
that, yeah,
on what
Pike
it, what,
Street.
Pike
I think,
Street
yeah.
Is that what that is? Yeah,
I think that's what it's.
Yeah, called. So it's and that's only you know
or
a two,
Saginaw, one of the
Saginaw.
Other,
yeah, Saginaw. Yeah, it's a 2-lane thing and it's narrower and there's more people in it. Hamtramck, you could you know kick a football across the street and hit a pole in the head with a pierogi. I did have some pierogies, though. Those were good.
Yeah.
little pierogies, little bit of, you know, whatever that crap is.
Well, all right.
Sausage and
so you had a great holiday.
Yay. Well, you know, it was all
right. Well,
I don't know if that's the ritual in your town or area. Please tell
us.
I'm
sure they have some lame shit that they do.
Yeah.
Wherever they live.
Well, they don't have a Labor Day.
I think in Yellowknife, they say goodbye to the sun. I think then.
I think that happens in June.
Yeah, I don't know when they do that, but I think they've done that already.
Well, Amy's parents went to Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
They went on a cruise of Alaska, so I've got to hear about that. And
that's pretty common.
Compare that with Cam's Arctic Adventures.
Well, you know what? I think Alaska is like a pretty common vacation spot for people, especially at this time of year, because you go up there and it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And it looks cool. And you go, because I saw some Travel Channel special. I feel like I went there.
Really?
You go to, they have like some, like, the ship stops at some old mining town.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they remade it. Like, it's, you know, like, it's just like being in, you know, the gold rush, where you walk in and it's like an old.
First of all, isn't most of Alaska like being in primitive times? Because
no, they like, it's like a tourist trap. They build it up where, like, you go and there's like a brothel and there's a madam and, like, she sits on your lap and you take a picture with her.
Sure.
And there's a guy playing a piano.
Yeah.
And you're at the saloon.
You ever been to Gatlinburg, Tennessee?
Oh, I'm sure it's just like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you go up there and that's what you see. I mean, yeah, you see icebergs and shit in Alaska.
Sure.
But then once the boat stops, it's the same crap as you get.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, and Hildebrand's been on the show talking about it. Yeah. And, you know, well, I don't know. There's a lot more.
Hildebrand loves the boat, though. He loves the boat experience of the cruise.
He does. If I'm on a boat, I want to be somewhere with a palm tree and shit. You know, I don't necessarily want to be up in an ice, you know, ice floe. I don't want to be, you know what I mean?
But he likes feeling. Remember, he said
he likes.
I don't
want to watch narwhals hump in the Arctic. I'm sorry.
He said he likes to sleep where the. He wants his cabin near the bow so he can feel the motion of the ocean.
Let's see if he's still on the. On the
boat. You know what? You can get a Bill Hildebrand update where he is.
Still on the boat.
He was in Bermuda, I think, the last time we checked in. That was probably 2 weeks ago. I think I'm up for a Bill Hildebrand update. Let's see.
Let's find out if Bill's still on the boat.
Let's find out. Now, what are you going to do if he actually picks up?
I'll talk to him.
So, like,
until September 7th, I'll be on the Norwegian cruise ship Dream around Bermuda, which means phone connection is going to be iffy and sporadic. So,
all right.
I think that's the same message we got before.
Well, until the 7th.
So what day is it now? It's the 3rd?
It's 3 days. He'll be back soon. Bill will be back soon. All right. We'll have to get a Bermuda update from Bill Hildebrand, unless he got lost in the Bermuda Triangle. Alaska's in the news. We'll get to that later on today. A lot of Alaska talk.
Oh, you want to talk about that?
Well, I got a story about her. That's funny.
About the Palin?
Sarah Palin. Yeah.
Well,
there's all kind of issues to get in with that. We'll do this in the
summer. All right. I'll do that. I'll talk about that.
So anyway. Yeah, there you go. Summer's over.
I guess. I mean, it's summer and that kids go back to school. It's still been 90 for the last fucking 3 days since Labor Day.
It stays warm till about the second week of October, and then
it's not like summer's over. Summer's over.
Yeah.
But people probably have stopped taking vacation.
Sure.
And you know, school is back in for a lot.
I think
of people.
They start shutting down the pool.
Yeah, they'll do shit like that.
See,
which I never understand.
Amy used to live in an apartment complex that had a pool.
Okay.
And we went to the pool a lot last summer. You know, it was right there. It was great. This year we were like, well, shit, we don't have a pool at this apartment, but the other one's not far away.
All right.
So we went and snuck into the pool.
Oh, wow.
And we did that a couple times.
Wait a minute. I'm just checking off the white trash checklist. I'm just going to check that one off.
Well, look, it's
you haven't officially passed the test yet, but you're on your way.
Well, speaking of white trash, that'll be in the second
half. Snuck into a pool.
Well, this is a pool. She used to live in the apartment complex.
All right.
First of all, most people aren't going to know. People don't really know who lives there.
I know.
They might remember seeing her before, seeing us last year.
Okay.
They're like, who's that fat people in the deep end? So we went to the pool a couple times. But the last time, we think we got busted by the girl from the office recognized us.
Oh.
Because she was like touring somebody else.
Oh.
And she like waved at us. And we were like, oh shit. She didn't say anything to us. But
she didn't
say
anything.
We're busted. Yeah, I think we were kind of busted.
Really?
And the big, this whole.
So, does it mean you can't go back to that pool again?
I don't think we're going to go back. You know, I think we might get busted. So, we thought, well, what's the chances that the girl from the office is going to come by the pool?
Yeah.
You know, very little. And so we went a couple times and then finally.
You realize you live probably within 5 minutes of like 12 hotel pools.
Sure.
Where you live, and you could sneak into any of those.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That'll be next summer.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling. But this was a home.
We were familiar with this pool.
Yeah.
And we had a key that got into the bathroom that she kept from, you know, when she lived
there. She kept the key.
Yeah, but then I think they changed the locks or something. Something funky happened.
So she tried the key and it didn't work.
What was really annoying was we used to have a key to get in the office and change the radio.
Yeah.
But we couldn't get in there. We couldn't get in the office key.
So you actually tried breaking and entering. You actually tried some form of larceny to complete the pool experience.
Oh, it's an office with a radio that you could change.
Okay.
You know.
But you tried an old key.
Well, we had the key that used to work for the office. And
no, that's a crime. I'm just telling you that's a crime.
Oh, sucking.
I'm not saying like you're going to jail, but that is a crime.
Oh, piss off.
It is. No, it actually is.
Oh, fine.
Do you want to hear a story about a guy who got arrested for that?
Yeah, and while we're bringing out the police blotter,
what?
Let's discuss the gathering of the juggalos and
how many larcenous felonies you're...
Me going to a pool, you're going
to
get all...
But I'm saying you committed a crime to go to a pool. I'm just saying. There's a balance.
How many 12-year-olds did you finger this year at the gathering?
Would you shut up? The answer is zero, and don't accuse me of that because it's not true.
14, at least.
Stop it, Corey.
You know, I mean, seriously.
I'm just putting a light on what you did.
Anyway, what the deal was, we couldn't get in this office, and the sons of bitches left it on, like, magic. 105.9, and that was about enough for us to not want to go to the pool.
Okay,
because we had to listen to that John Tesh show.
I don't even know what that is. Oh. Is it bad? What does he do on there?
It's bad. Well, actually, that happened a lot last summer, and they'd leave the station on, and we'd have to go and change it.
Okay,
John Tesh's show is amazing. It's like, you know what he'll do is he'll play, like, you know, Black Velvet by Alana Miles,
yeah,
you know, or maybe a little Peter Cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll just play some wussy, sad. Early 90s rock.
Yeah.
Maybe Michael W. Smith or some bullshit. And then he'll come on and start telling you about it. He calls it intelligence for your life.
Oh, God.
And it'll be like, plant a tree because you'll never know what fruit will bloom from that tree. It's just like all about, like, if you have to buy car insurance, shop around. It's like he's like giving you instructions.
So he talks, but it's not like he takes calls or anything.
No, it's all pre-recorded and it's just John Tesh like going, you know.
Sounds horrible.
You know, if you've never been to the Cherry Blossom Festival in Washington, D.C., you should try it sometime. It's just all this. Nah, it's like that. What was? Remember that guy had that stupid graduation song thing where the guy, like, it was like a spoken word poem in the mid-90s where the guy was like, you will never know when the tree farts in the wilderness.
That was Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's kind of like that, only it's John Tesh telling you things that you should do. Well, how your relationship can work better for you, which is, you know, marry Connie Selica and
I guess
don't bang her until you get married.
You think that's something that he just, like, there's about six of those and they just rotate them and
it's a day of work for him. He goes
in, recorded all those,
he could tape
a
week of them in an afternoon and you know, it's, but it was the most annoying thing ever.
Really?
Yeah.
My dad had Paul Harvey on the radio the other day.
Wait, hold on. Talking about Deadpool, where the fuck is Paul Harvey?
I don't know. I don't know who's got him in ours. Probably no one in our...
Somebody's got to get Paul Harvey.
In our main thing.
We got 3 months.
But
three,
he reads the
3 news. 3 months to go until, like, Paul Harvey.
Oh, it's so bad. My dad had Paul Harvey on, and he reads these news stories, and he's literally just reading them. There's no context. Yeah. He gives no opinion on them.
Let me put this into context. My grandfather, who died in, I want to say, 98, 97, something like that, he listened to Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he finds, like, nowadays it's easy to find these articles, like, if you go online.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Paul has a guy who was getting him off a wire or something before that. And they're all these, like, just annoying, like, human interest stories.
It's like Reader's Digest.
Yeah, or it's like there's a new product, like something he was reading about, some new product that came out or something. Yeah. And there was no context that he gave to the article. He literally just read it. It's like an old man reading the newspaper to you. It's really weird.
A golden setter named Mr. Foofy Winkle.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Had lost his master.
Yeah.
And wandered the earth.
Yeah, he does
looking
that
for him.
He does those stories.
For 7 years.
But then he would do stuff about
the dog never stopped.
New, okay, can I talk? Or is Paul Harvey going
to... No, Paul Harvey. We'll continue.
All right.
I had an apple the other day. Delicious, healthy apple.
He was so bad.
That's what. But that's what it is. It's like that. It is. It's like the pacing is that. It's, and I swear to God, my Grandpa Harry listened to that shit, and he died 12 years ago, 15 years ago.
It's still on.
Oh, God.
And it was like stuff, like he was reading stuff that I had read online that day. So it was like a content. It's like
was
it's
he?
Not,
what did he just read Drudge or something? Was he?
No, I don't know what he does. He just reads all these weird. You know, that's the thing about radio. People don't realize that. Yeah. Like, you and I, like, if we come on and sound like we have nothing to talk about, that's just because
which sounds like today.
Well, whatever. But that's just because we didn't have some kid pull a stack of paper for us to read to you guys.
Well, with these morning zoos.
Yeah, they have services.
They have
that
a
they
service.
Subscribe to,
the service has jokes.
Yeah.
And it has Lindsay Lohan. And they are right. They have an intern who sits there and looks
and
at what.
And they literally give you a stack of shit to talk about on the show for that.
What
day.
Audrina Partridge's vagina is
now,
doing today.
I could have typed up a pile of shit for you and I to talk about today. But
sure.
I don't want to do that. So,
well, you know.
We actually do have shit that we're going to sort of pull up and read. You have something about
I got some stuff.
Sarah Palin. And I wanted to talk about the death pool and people who died. And I'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, they'll pull up a bunch of crap. And if you listen to enough of these stations, you know, you realize they're all using the same service or they're all reading the same stories. You know, it's just funny. Now, most people would never do that because, you're in your hometown and you listen to one morning show and you don't, flip around.
Sure.
But if you do flip around or if you do travel from city to city, you'll realize, like, they'll use the same song parodies a lot of times, that those are from services. Just a lot of the same drops.
Right.
In fact, some of the stuff, I don't know if you can pull one up right now, but we have some annoying radio CD drops that you can buy.
God,
I don't know if you have one.
Those
are
old. I don't know.
We've played those on the show before.
Yeah, this one goes out to the ladies in the black underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, the number one trailer voiceover guy died.
Yeah, I was going to talk about him dying.
Oh.
Don Fontaine, was that his name?
Don LaFontaine.
Don LaFontaine.
Don LaFontaine.
Yeah, he was one of, I think there's about four guys that do those.
Yeah, he was most known as the In a World guy.
He's the guy that when you do that voice, like I know Pablo Francisco does his impression of him in his stand-up. He's the guy that you would most often hear imitated. He had kind of that creepy, low voice. There's actually the other guys you would recognize their voices too. But this guy kind of made an industry out of...
Hold on. I have the Don LaFontaine voice master page. Let's see if we can hear some.
Do you? I mean, all right. Quickly. Come on.
Well, it's loading.
It's loading.
Well, yeah, anyway, yeah.
Every other morning radio show's on there right now. But yeah, he was the guy that you would know from that. And he would have counted in the death pool.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was famous enough that, and it was reported widely when he died, that he would have qualified for the death pool.
Yeah.
So
I think he would have.
Yeah, I don't think some people.
I wish I could get a goddamn sound clip of him.
Well, that's fine. That's why we could prepare for the show, or we could spend an hour trying to get Windows Vista to see your computer, which for some reason it failed me today, and I had to burn the stuff to a CD and give it to you. What do we got now? Nothing. Let's move along. Can I move?
All right. All right. I'm sorry. I had the Don LaFontaine page.
The other guy that died is a guy. A guy that I loved, and I didn't know him from a lot of stuff, but you would certainly know the one famous movie he was in, but Jerry Reed died.
That's another big bummer.
Yeah, and he was a guy I know. He was on my master death pool list, like the list that I use to make my picks every year, because I had to go in and remove him from that yesterday. But Jerry Reed died, most famous for being in Smokey and the Bandit,
right.
I think. And he wrote the theme song for that. And he was in, I think he was in the sequels as well. In fact, I think
he was. He was.
Paula
Sela
is a real Geico customer, not an actor. So to help tell her story, we hired that announcer guy from the movies.
We're on to a new guy.
When the storm hit, both our cars were totally underwater.
In a world where both of our cars were totally underwater.
There he is.
There he is. It
would take forever to get some help.
But a new wind was about to blow.
I mean, it's a classic voice.
Yeah.
When you hear that, you can, you know. And it's kind of weird. Like, there's a whole thing you can find on YouTube where the Today Show profiled all those guys.
Yeah.
And some of the guys are weird when you see them talk because it's like you can't associate the voice with the face. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a weird thing. The Disney guy. You know, there's a Disney guy that just does the Disney stuff.
Okay.
Like, coming up on Disney DVD, all your favorites are back.
Sure. And now here's a Jerry Reed clip.
Okay. You got a Jerry Reed?
No, No, we're on Jerry Regan. You're on Don LaFontaine. Let's wrap Don LaFontaine.
I've wrapped it already. What's that left to say?
It's a bummer. I liked him. He was one of my favorite voiceovers.
It's not a bummer. Most of the time, those guys would die and you wouldn't even know. Yeah. This guy sort of got some fame because he did some.
Well, recently he'd come out in front of the camera.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's Jerry Reed with his classic immortal hit from the early 70s. She got the gold mine, I got the shaft.
See, I don't know that's
what he's
going to
tell you all about this song.
But you can play it.
Song that I'm
Jerry
sure is good.
This is what he was known for, telling stories.
To your eye.
But I think by the time
it's
we
called,
got
She got the gold mine, and I got the shaft, and I need a microphone stand here. Now then, boys. y'all will.
It's a shame we don't have this talent around anymore.
I know. Here we go.
See, this is real country music.
It sure is.
All this bullshit that's around now, that's not country.
This is back in 63 when eating my cooking got the better of me, so I asked this little girl I was going with to be my wife. Well, she said she would, so I said
I listened to Jerry Reed all day.
Well, see, this is much better than...
I was going to screw up all the time.
Trace Adkins or some bullshit.
The first few years weren't all that bad. I'll never forget the good times we had. Of course, I'm reminded every month when I send her the child support.
See, it's a story.
It wasn't very long till the lust all died.
He's spinning a tale.
I wasn't too surprised the day I come home and see my suitcase sitting out on the porch.
I'm just getting to the chorus.
Well, I tried to get in. She changed the lock.
God, this goes on forever.
All right. Well, we'll join you at the end of the Jerry Reed song. But, he in Smokey and the Bandit 3, though, I believe he played both the bandit and the sheriff in that movie.
Well, yeah, he
played like three roles.
He was Enos Snow, the snowman.
Yeah, that was his
main
character.
And then when Burt Reynolds wouldn't do the third one, it was just about the snowman.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Oh!
Jerry Reed gone.
If you didn't grow up in the 70s, you just don't recognize, you don't know how prevalent country music was.
There was trucker culture, which he was part of as well. But country music was different than it is now.
Totally.
Country music now is just like bad pop music with the phone.
This is the Smokey the Bandit theme.
All right.
No, it was, but yeah, it was like Mac Davis and Glenn Campbell.
Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. Yeah, it's a great song. And then they play this in the movie, and you see the trucks going down the road. It all makes sense.
All right.
I like Jerry Reed.
Loved him.
He's not a guy that ever sold out, never did anything else.
No, did the same thing.
He was always a redneck.
Pretty much.
Always a good old boy.
Anyway, right. That's when you could like rednecks.
Yeah.
You know, so nowadays rednecks just get on my nerves. But the old school hillbillies.
Well, if all rednecks were
I'm
like
sure
that.
Back then I would have hated those guys just as much.
Well, I don't think Jerry Reed was, but he was an entertainer. He was just a guy who was, you know.
Yeah.
And I think those guys would have admitted that there was a shtick going on, I think. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
He couldn't even do a song without an intro where he
right, and I think they would have admitted it. Now where country music is so not country, and they're so not... It's sort of like, what do they want to play on the radio? Oh, we want to play Shania Twain. Now everything comes out and it sounds like that. And
in a weird way, it was like more mainstream back then. But it is now, but it's like segregated
almost. You knew country music when you heard it. It's not like today when... You hear country music and you're like, this just sounds like shitty rock music. Oh, that's country. Everything now is sort of trying to be more than what it is.
It's really...
Like R&B used to sound like R&B.
It's bad pop music with a fiddle.
Right.
That's what it is.
I'm saying,
just throw a fiddle in.
R&B is pop music, and what we used to know as R&B isn't like that at all either.
Well...
Like, you know, you used to have old, like, real R&B in real country music and real rock music. And now they've all watered those styles down into some mainstream formula that now gets played on the radio. And it's all awful. It's all terrible.
Yeah.
There's nothing good. I guarantee you. Occasionally stuff will come out on the radio that, like, there'll be a song that maybe I'll understand, and then a band like
Modest Mouse will sell millions of records. And you're like, really?
Well,
where'd that come from?
They had one hit, and it was on a lot of TV shows and stuff and movies. But, you know, I mean, I like that I can appreciate country being country.
Can you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to run out and go buy a Jerry Reed collection right now, but...
No, but I mean...
It was... At the time when I was a kid, I understood what that was about.
We used to have A-tracks in my house, and we had a bunch of country A-tracks.
Yeah.
We had Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton on A-track. I think we had...
Like my grandmother had that stuff.
I had Eddie Rabbit on 45. Yeah. I remember having that.
John Denver was about as country as my parents got. Yeah. But my grandmother would totally have...
Really?
The... Reuben James used to walk the fields of my mind, you know.
And we used to have, I think we have, we had some Willie Nelson LPs in my house when I was a kid.
I love Willie now.
So
I can dig.
But Willie again isn't. He's doing the
same
different. Thing he was.
But he's a little different from everybody else.
Well, he's different than the country music guys now.
Yeah.
But he's doing what
he was different
done.
Back then, though. He was. That's always.
No, he was a little different, but it was a different style. But he fit right in with everybody else. You know, I mean, it was sort of. You know, you understood. Yeah. It was a little different style.
But in a weird way, you kind of have to go out of your way to look for it.
Willie was kind of like the Bob Dylan of country music, in a sense. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
Because Bob Dylan is rock, but it's not rock like the Beatles or the Stones. It's kind of its own thing.
Willie was his own sort of personality. Yeah. Right. His own... Solamente Willie Nelson.
All right. Well, put him on the death pool, and we'll...
Willie, that weed will keep you young, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. There are a lot of dead old hippies, like a lot of guys.
Yeah,
dead.
But you know,
Yeah,
but you know, Willie's only done weed. Well, I mean,
come on, fuck all that. He did tons of cocaine.
He smoked weed in the White House. That's how badass Willie is.
What's the claim there?
No, he was invited to the White House. I can't remember if it was Carter or Reagan.
Yeah,
I think it might have been Carter.
Yeah,
in like 78 or something, okay. And he went up on the roof and smoked dope in the White House. That's the true story.
Well, the famous story is the Beatles smoke pot in, what is it, Buckingham Palace?
Yeah.
When they were getting their OBEs, they went and had a joint
before
they picked up their OBEs. That's a famous
story. No one's clear if it was actually in the palace, but yeah, they were high when they went and got their MBE.
No, somebody said they went in the bath. If the Beatles anthology has that.
Oh, really?
There's differing stories.
About where it was smoked.
About where it was smoked. Yeah. It was smoked in the car on the way there. But
I don't doubt they were high as a goddamn
that,
kite.
Said that they were smoking pot in Buckingham Palace. But, you know, they were the Beatles. It was cute.
John was tripping balls from about 66 to 70. He was just, you know.
All right, you want to take a break and come back with some other
stuff? I'm gonna.
What do you want to get into?
Take
Sarah
a moment
Palin?
To think about Jerry Reed.
Yeah, well, he's great.
Well, we've been talking about hillbillies and country and rednecks and Sarah Palin's family names.
Okay.
Are pretty rednecky.
All right, you know what those are?
We'll get into those. I got her children's names.
All right, why don't you play the fall, and then we'll come back and we'll...
All right.
We'll get to that and everything else we've got in the second half of the show. On the Corey and Joel Radio Show, people.
Woo!
Fooled them all. Rolling Daddy, he was a rolling man. And go. And three, four, five, six cats ring them against the wall. They were in for a fight from a rolling daddy. He was a rolling man. And go! Well, everybody's talking about a working man. Everybody's talking about a rolling daddy.
And we're back. That was The Fall with Roland Danny.
Yes, sir.
That's a cover song.
Yeah.
The Fall released some covers.
What is that a cover of?
I have no idea. It's always obscure band. The songwriting credit went to Jay Stein and P. Edwards. You know, they covered a lot of like either old rock and roll stuff or they covered even like Motown kind of stuff like from that era. So yeah. The Fall always throws a couple covers.
You know, it only brings up The Fall when I put that in.
Yeah, it's the, I think they made that famous.
Wow.
But that's The Fall. Back on Corey and Joel Radio. A couple things to plug here quickly, if we may. You can go to the forums on CoreyandJoelRadio.com. We're going to be discussing the fantasy football season, which starts this week. I'm excited about that. We did our draft last week. We'll have the games. You and I are squaring off this week, Corey.
Yes, sir.
In fantasy.
Bring it on.
The preview is up, and according to the experts at ESPN.com, where we're playing, I am favored slightly to win this
by like a point.
I totally it up. It's about a 6 point.
But
but over nine guys, it's like less than a point.
It's
a
like you got the two guys by a point.
It's kind of
really
like a push almost. And I looked at everyone else's team, and I gotta say, I think my sister-in-law Julie has a good team.
Yeah,
I actually think that
Roger's team's all right.
No, Roger has a, like, some of those guys have kind of weird guy, like, he has Ernest Graham starting.
Ernest Graham, I was not
which is,
wild
like, kind of like,
Rogers.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an 8-team league, and you should have a good team, but I see clear.
I'll tell you who sucks.
I think Sean Stone's team looks good, and Julie's team look good, and my team and your team look
Here's
good.
Here's who sucks.
And other than that, I don't
Pasquale Mazzi's team can blow me. Other than, he's got LaDainian Tomlinson.
Okay.
And then he can suck a nut. He's got... Here's Wes Welker and Nate Burleson are starting.
Well, see, some guys, but he missed part of the draft, the live draft as well.
Anyway.
So anyway, but I think you and I have two of the best teams, and we're going to be squaring off in week one.
Let's do it.
So I'm excited.
Get done.
I'm excited for football, baby. So we'll be talking about that. We've also got our YouTube clips. Go on YouTube. We're putting up a new one any day now, any minute now. It actually should have been up over the weekend, but I was doing other stuff. Corey and I are weird food samplings on video.
Yeah.
That is going to grow by one on YouTube.
Sean's team sucks, too.
I thought Sean's team was decent.
Did you? Really? All right. Well, it was just...
Run down his lineup for you if you're looking at it.
He's got Hasselbeck as the starting quarterback.
Okay, who could be big.
Who could be big and could be Matt Hasselbeck. Brian Westbrook's his best player. He's got Brian Westbrook.
All right, so he's like about the number three running back.
Very solid. Maurice Jones-Drew, I've never been big
He's
on.
Been a top five running back probably every season.
Yeah, I know, but I still...
Matt Hasselbeck's like a top five quarterback, believe it or not. I know you don't like him.
Well, last year, Maurice Jones-Drew had 3, 4, and 2 points to start the season, so he's streaking.
But for
he
the year, hot. I'm talking for the year.
No, he had like a couple solid weeks, and then he'll have some stinkers.
I like he's the top five guy for the year, and now Corey's telling me he sucks. Well, he's still a top five. You were both correct. The point is he's a top five running back for the year.
Though. Yeah, he's just streaky.
He was.
He's streaky.
Okay.
T.O. is his. Okay, he's got Westbrook and T.O., so maybe Sean.
So he's got top five guys at every position to this point.
Yeah. Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco.
Okay, he's injured and may not play.
Questionable.
Okay.
He loves.
But he could be better in later in
this. Sean's week. Got this boner for Kellen Winslow.
Again, he's predicted to be. He hasn't delivered yet, but he's predicted to be a top five.
His high score last year was 16. His high.
He's a guy that is still has more potential than actual delivery. So,
we'll see about that.
I thought Sean's team was pretty solid.
It's okay.
It didn't have a glaring weakness. Yeah. Let's talk about your team, Corey.
My team.
Because not only is your team great, they're all Democrats, and that's really why they're special people.
My team. I have my big question mark is Anquan Boldin, who is. Continues to toy with people's emotions. I'm not wild about him, but...
He's weaker than any of the starting wideouts on Sean Stone's team. Yeah, I would say so. I would say most people would agree. Aside from Chad Johnson being slightly injured.
Well, Boldin will have the occasional 30-point
lead. Right, and I'm not saying he won't.
But he's very streaky. So Boldin is my weak spot. But I got a die. I got Roethlisberger.
I said your team was good.
I got a solid team.
I love you. You make fun of Hasselbeck, and you've got Roethlisberger. Not that Roethlisberger's bad, but Hasselbeck is traditionally
top four or five quarterback.
He's been a better quarterback than Roethlisberger has.
Well, Roethlisberger was huge last year.
Okay,
huge, I tell you. And they're in a pass happy offense. They're going to throw with the Steelers this year.
Why do you say that?
That's because I read about football, my friend.
All right, they've always been a running game. I know they got a new coach,
but they're Tomlin. They got a much more pass aggressive system this year.
All right, there's no telling you anything. I've realized that now. I can't tell you anything. Statistics, nothing phases
you. Can
you.
Tell me that Anquan.
You have an opinion and you stick
you
to
it. You can tell
me
that Anquan Boldin is
your team is better than everyone's team. That,
no, I didn't say that.
If your team's not better than everyone's team, then I'm wrong.
I'm looking at the Port Chester Whooping Cranes are going to be amazing.
Yeah, how did
year.
You come up with that name?
I, you know, it's a, if you get the reference, it's a good.
No, no one gets that. I'm guaranteeing you. Maybe I'm in the dark. Maybe
if
there's
you get
a million
the reference,
guys.
Post on the Corey and Joel radio forum.
Yeah, go ahead.
Call in at 610-552-0746.
Let me guess. That was on a TV show pilot that ran once in 1969 and was canceled.
No.
No. Okay. Because usually that's where you get your hipster.
It's a film that someone people have seen. All right.
I haven't seen
it. And let's end then when we're breaking down. Oh, this is Julie's team. I'm sorry. That's
Julie's team I thought was good, too.
What, now, are you going to update the O-Rod book, too?
I'm going to, but it's going to be a surprise.
Is it book three?
It's game day, baby.
Is it? Okay.
The new name comes on game
day. We'll see. This
I don't want to give away my new name.
My new name, I debuted early. But
I saw that. I was like, whose fucking team is that? And then it's you.
All right.
But you normally had a system for your names, and you went away from that.
Well, no. What do you mean I had a system?
You were always sort of Lions-related or kind of NFL-related.
Well, yeah.
And now they're not.
The Hall of Doom wasn't really
no,
NFL-related.
Okay, that's true.
All right, here we go.
Or there was a pun or something like that. Now it's not.
Well, you know, I'm going with the location and mascot format.
Okay.
All right. Peyton Manning. Okay, I can't. I had him last year.
This is my team.
Can't really argue with him. Although some people are predicting he'll have a slightly down year from what, but still,
of course. Well, I have him.
A down year for Peyton Manning is still a year most people would take.
He was, I think, the number two QB last year after Tom Brady.
Marion Barber, very good. I can't. That's a solid.
He's a guy
pick.
On the up because he was sharing.
And they moved Julius Jones out. So,
but they drafted a rookie who's going to play. But Marion Barber's still going to get.
Well, Julius Jones is a real grind him out kind of. Yeah. He took a lot of carries.
Barber got a lot of goal line stuff. So
Brandon Jacobs is another erratic guy. He could have an up year,
but
it's
he's a guy
tell.
That he's goal line. He's a big fucking bowling ball. And the Giants are going to score. The Giants have all 11 returning starters on offense, which was a good offense last year.
You got Plaxico Burress, who's very decent.
Okay, again, Giant.
Hines Ward, it could be over for him.
All right, it could
he
be.
He was hurt a bit last year.
Of course, but he's got the world's greatest quarterback throwing to him.
Well, that's good.
See, there you go. Your own logic doesn't apply to me, but it applies to
I
you.
I will root for a Hines Ward touchdown because it will take points. We will split them. If there's a Hines Ward's touchdown,
Corey's argument's turning into Swiss cheese right in front of your ears here on the Corey Dillon.
No, I mean your team's all right. You had my stud kicker Mason Crosby from last year.
Yeah, and I took him just to be
now
a
one
dick to
one
you.
Move I thought was smart for on your case, but we can only know who knows what will happen.
What's
with
that?
It. I thought it was a smart draft pick was Ricky Williams.
Well, yeah, I mean I've actually considered. Picking up some other undrafted running backs in our league, but I'm going to wait to see how stuff shakes down. Because right now I'm carrying two tight ends.
Yeah, Ben Watson looks like he's hurt.
And I'm carrying, he's got a slight thing. And I'm carrying...
The problem is he plays for New England, so you never know if a guy's
I'm
hurt.
I'm carrying four wideouts or five wideouts, I think. How many wideouts are on my bench? Two?
You've got...
Because normally
you
can carry
two, you got
one.
Two wideouts. So you have a lot of wideouts.
So I'm carrying five wideouts. I'm starting three, which means it would probably do well for me to drop one of the wideouts and pick up another running back, or drop a tight end and pick up another running back. And then your defenses, you never know with those guys, with the defense. So eventually you end up firing your defense and your kicker at some point
regardless. The defense is a push. It's hard to tell.
So, you know, without having the defense play the game.
You got a pretty solid team.
Yeah, I think my team's good. And I think your team's good. And I think Julie's team is good. And I think Roger's team is good. And that from top to bottom, they're
solid. Donald Driver you have. And I tried to eschew any Packers this year because I just don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Even though the Packers were really good last year.
I understand.
It's hard to tell what's going to happen.
He's on my bench. He's a guy that's on the borderline
of
getting
fired. Phil Rivers is on your bench, so you got a good backup.
See, there you go. Yeah, and some people won't carry two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So people will carry one until they get to their bye week, and they'll pick up whoever's
around.
Do that. Well, it depends. People have different theories on playing fantasy. We played in a public league a couple years ago, and this guy had this theory of, and it's a legitimate fantasy football strategy, where he said, I'm going to pick up, when a guy goes down with an injury, I'm going to pick up their replacement. And even though these were guys like you'd never heard of, this guy picked up every scrub and was kicking. Remember Sam Congatto was kicking our asses for a couple weeks? This guy picked up every waiver wire guy, every fucking you know, guy who got hurt. He would pick up the replacement and scored big points with him. I don't play that way.
Well, look, my running back situation last year was kind of a wash because I had injuries.
Yeah.
I had the new Lions star, Rudy Johnson, who we'll get into in a second. Rudy Johnson was hurt and was, like, you know, busted most of the year.
Yeah, and my point with this is that you can't base anything, you know, maybe Ernest Graham will have a big year. But based on what people have done traditionally, you know, or what people have done in the last couple seasons, that's why I'm judging who is the best team based on that. Of course, anyone can win, and anyone can blow their Achilles tendon.
Right.
Like, you know, Peyton Manning could, or Tom Brady could.
And that's the beauty of fantasy.
Whoever, yeah, you have.
Because about week six or seven, you are going to be farming. You're going to be shopping, looking at the waiver wire, looking at who's in the list.
But there is a lot of good guys, not to tip my hand, but there seem to be a lot of good running backs people are overlooking.
Yes.
Or guys who are going to be like split carry guys. Maybe they're not the main guy. Because there's teams that'll do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you had Julius Jones on the Cowboys, for instance, like, he'd get the majority of the carries, but he wouldn't get the goal line carries.
Right.
So then the other guy would score the actual touchdowns. And that always murders you. And that'll end up popping up this year. Those guys will start to come around and be worth money, be worth some points. Maurice Jones-Drew's a guy like that. He's a guy who splits carries with Fred Taylor. But Maurice Jones-Drew was breaking like a long touchdown almost every week.
Yeah.
He was running for 40, 50, 60 yards on touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like consistently last year. It was great. So it's like, man, he's not getting carries, but when he does, it's like, boom, 50-yard touchdown. That's 11 points.
Is Sean McDonald available, Joel? Because
you can pick up any Lion
Detroit
you want.
Detroit Lions, Sean McDonald.
That's my other rule in fantasy. No Lions. Never a Lion on my team. You'll never see.
That's not true. You've had Lions before.
Not in a winning team.
I had Lions last year, and it worked for me.
I don't think I've ever put a Lion in my starting lineup and had the team win.
I had Lions, and it was pretty good for me last year.
Okay.
I got a Lion again this year.
All right. Well, good for you.
I got Roy Williams. Roger jumped a line and got Calvin Johnson before me. I was ready to take.
And maybe that'll change. Maybe that rule's out of date. I'm saying it's been my rule. I'm living with that rule.
Well, when Megatron
rules are meant to be broken.
When Megatron has the breakout season and Roger sitting there all fat and sassy with the Calvin Johnson.
I want the Lions to be good.
Yeah.
I'm going to root
Here's
for the Lions.
I have a reason I take Lions. It gives a little spice to the game for me.
But I'm already rooting for the Lions. That's
I know, but I'm watching the Lions, and if I got to watch the Lions every week, I want a little extra. I want a little oomph, a little, you know, a little.
No, it's not I don't need that. If I'm watching the other teams, if I'm watching, you know,
sure.
The San Diego
that
Chargers
spices it up
play,
for you.
And I've got Philip Rivers, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right.
And that's what people watch fantasy. You know, that's why fantasy is good for the league, because it makes you watch other teams.
Yeah. I heard on sports radio today that they were talking about why black people don't play fantasy football.
There was a lot of math involved. Did that ever come up?
I don't know. And I was going to ask Mike Lundy to be in the league, and you were like, nah, he won't play.
It takes organizational skills. And I'll give you honesty. If you want honesty, I'll give it to you. You have to be on time for stuff. You have to get your lineups in on time.
Yeah.
And black people aren't, you know, a lot of them.
This goes back all the way to the
I'm
Civil
not,
War.
I'm not doing that.
When
no.
During
no.
the slave trading, the big, the
you
owner, the slave
week.
Owner would breed his big black to his big woman so that he could have a big
Obama's,
black kid.
Obama's thighs go up into his back. We know. So listen to me. I think there's a
only
lot of
halfway because he's a half
organizational things. There's things computers involved.
People sleep on the fact Obama's half white. They really do.
It is weird.
Did you know at the convention they were bringing out his like he had his uncle who was like, you know, this old white dude that was like
he was raised by white people.
Well, his grandparents are, you know,
but they raised
like,
him as
his
well.
His grandparents look like the Bunkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just, they sleep on that because he's like Spock. You know, Spock was half human and then people never talk about that.
Yeah.
It's always the Vulcan side.
But
Vulcan, one drop of Vulcan, Joel, outweighs all the human blood.
I believe that.
It's unbelievable.
I believe that Obama's a Vulcan. But here's my point.
Anyway.
Black people, you know, how much fantasy football team editing are you going to do at the library? You know what I'm saying?
Is it just there's no internet access?
There's a lack of internet access.
That's a good point.
For black people. There
it's
is.
It's so true. Even our friends that we try to get hold of, they're like, I'm not going to be on a computer. I ain't going to be in a computer this week.
There's that.
But you would think with phones now, Like, all these got my phone's got the internet on it. Like,
but you have to do research to play fantasy. There's a lot of reading. There's a lot of
it's look fantasy.
No, I'm saying it not just about black people. That's a lot of reason people don't play in general. Is that it's work to maintain these teams, and like anyone can draft a team and sit there and watch your guys lose every week. But it's like when you lose, what do? Do you go on the waiver wire? Who do you cut? Who do you keep? Yeah. Who's got the, you know, you and I were looking at bye weeks when we were drafting. Sure. And I see we haven't even looked at everyone else's bye weeks in our league. Probably guys got two quarterbacks with the same bye week.
Well,
shit like that.
The bye week played in my draft strategy.
See,
for
yeah,
sure.
Me too. And it has if you want to win.
I didn't want to stock up on one team.
Yeah.
You've got two Giants in your starting line, which is fine. And if the Giants are hot, that's good. But you never know if you'd load up too many. I had like a lot of Bengals last year, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
And it sucked.
If you're going to load up on a team, I think the Super Bowl champs are generally a good bet to...
They were kind of one of the flimsier Super Bowl champs. They were not...
Oh, my God. You are just... You will not...
No,
get
no.
Me.
Loading up on Patriots was a great idea last year, and we both had Patriots, right?
Is it Wednesday right now, or you want to argue with me about that? You can give me no credit on anything.
No, hold on. You had Brady last year, and that would put you in that position.
But I didn't think Tom Brady was going to be great. I took him as sort of
I took Randy Moss.
I lucked into Tom Brady.
And look what happened.
And you lucked into Randy Moss.
Well, no one was taking Randy Moss.
But you didn't know it was going to have the greatest season of all time.
I took an educated guess, and it paid off.
Okay.
You know.
All right. That's fair enough.
I'm not saying I'm the best fantasy football player ever, and I'm sure somebody's going to beat the living tar out of me.
You won the league. You did win the league.
Scoreboard! Championship!
Yeah, but that was, I mean.
Oh, look, you had a really good season, and I would be pissed if you.
I won the most games.
If I had failed like you did at the final moment.
I won the most games and scored the most
points. Who did you lose to
points?
In the finals?
I lost in the semis to. God, I think I lost to Julie.
Yeah.
No, I think I lost to you in the semis.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
yes, you did.
And then you beat Julian Fuss. But, you know, it was the thing where, like, you know, Tom Brady got hurt, and it was like, well, what can I do? They stopped throwing.
Believe me, week three, when my starting running back blows out his ACL and I get, you know, stomped into the mud by some team, it's going to, you know, they're all going to go, ha, ha.
My point was that, you know, my team dominated. I lost, I think, two games all year.
You had a very good team.
And you, you know, squeaked into the playoffs and then had a hot run in the playoffs.
I had a couple
and
really...
And that was good. But so, in general, I was the better fantasy player.
I had a couple... You know what? My team got better as
my
the year
team,
went
on. I had the best draft and was the best coach.
My team was better at the end of the season because
Because you got lucky at the end.
I creatively...
There is an element of chance to fantasy football.
Yeah.
That helped you. Immeasurable.
It's all luck.
No, I'm not saying it's all luck. Yeah.
I'm saying you had a good team.
For the 16 weeks of fantasy,
yes.
I was the most consistent and best player.
And then when it came to the playoffs, scoreboard! All right, so there you go. Speaking of scoreboards, what's happening today in Detroit? I can't believe we haven't talked about it.
I can't because nothing's happened.
Well, I know. But speaking of football and the city of Detroit and crime... The number one story in Detroit.
Oh, that story. That's a good story.
These are two stories. They're kind of related about how dangerous the city is. One, the mayor of Detroit is finally being thrown out on his ass.
It looks like the governor is finally going to remove him. Therefore, he's going to quit before she can do that. I think that's really
the dagger is at his throat.
To boil it down to something. Because if I was him, I'd go. I mean, look, if I was him, I'd. Tell him to shoot himself in the head. But if I was really going to be like an advocate for him, sure. I would say, go ahead and face trial, and there's probably a decent chance he's going to get acquitted, and he won't have to leave office. But then when Granholm steps in, which is our governor, now he's fucked.
For those of you who don't know the whole story, here's a brief recap. Kwame Kilpatrick, when he got reelected, supposedly, allegedly, had a party at the Manoogian Mansion, which is the mayor's official residence in Detroit. And apparently at this party they had strippers, and his wife came home early. Apparently the wife was supposed to be out. The mayor's wife was supposed to be out doing something. She came home, found the strippers, and beat the crap out of one of them. It's been alleged, but there's been a lot of backup and supporting testimony.
But it was also alleged that she was blowing Kwame at the time. And
there's rumors. There's all kinds of wild stuff. But there are people who witnessed or who reported that she had looked like she'd been beaten up.
Okay.
Anyway, the internal affairs unit started investigating this party, and meanwhile the stripper was shot and killed.
Yes.
And so they were investigating the murder of the stripper and the party, and Kwame decided to fire the cops that were investigating this stuff. And meanwhile, was having an affair with his chief of staff, her bony ass.
Which he's really charged.
Who cares about the affair? But they were having text message exchanges about why they had to fire the cops.
Right.
What they had to do to get rid of these cops.
That was evidence cover of it up. The way that they fired and covered up the firing of the cops.
Right.
Therefore, all that stuff came out of the woodwork.
Then these cops sued the city and for wrongful dismissal.
Yeah.
And the Kilpatrick team, the lawyers and the mayor, they're trying to prove that the mayor ordered it, but whatever. They settled. They made a settlement deal because they had the text messages,
right,
between the mayor and his bony.
Well, it was hush money that they paid to these guys.
His bony chief of
in
staff
in order to make the lawsuit go away.
Right.
They paid the guys
$8.5 million.
But it was money out of the city coffers as well. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And it cost well over almost $10 million by the time they were done with legal fees to cover all this up and hush it away. So now, finally, the governor, after almost 10 months. Steps in and says, I'm hearing to throw him out.
She always had the power to do it. And I've said, and I think I said it on this show, that the governor would not throw Kwame out of office during the election.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was Obama kind of bitch smacked him.
Yeah.
So now, since she's, let's face it, she's gone, by the way, if Obama gets elected. You can say goodbye to her.
Yeah.
Because she's going right to the cabinet. That's my
point. Well, she's only had, it's hard to get a third term as a
she's
governor.
Not gonna,
anyway.
Yeah, she's not going to win anyway if she runs that's for the pretty, governor again,
she hasn't
probably.
Been exactly the best governor.
So she will probably be running off to serve Obama.
I
anyway,
wouldn't doubt that.
If he wins,
she might be
election.
In line for a position.
So,
yeah, that was Obama told Kwame Kilpatrick to stay home.
Don't go to the Democratic National Convention. Yeah.
He was on a tether anyway, so it was
no. But he
be...
got permission to go. The judge said he could go, and then Kwame, and then Obama's
so this is,
like,
"It's just been an unbelievable scandal." And if you ever, I know in Yellowknife that one time, one of the city councilmen, you know, actually used the salad fork on his whale blubber instead of using the dinner fork, and I know that was a controversy
okay.
right there.
I'm
just saying, if you don't have a crazy and look, people who live in D.C. they had Marion Barry smoking crack. But this has been a delightfully entertaining story. It's finally over today. Supposedly.
I don't know that it's over. He's supposedly going to resign today. He didn't. He might resign tomorrow. And
but they've been having this hearing all day.
Well,
where
the writing's
been
on the wall that he's going to be gone.
Right.
Barring some miracle. And now he's trying to stop him. He's going to try to plead down so he doesn't have to go to jail.
Yeah.
Because it looks like the walls are closing in on him, and good for him. Fuck him.
Yes, sir.
And apparently, did you see that the story that... They polled the city, newspaper, I believe, did this, and they wanted to see who would be the new mayor, who people wanted.
Yeah.
And they said that Dave Bing, the former Piston, is the leading, not candidate, he's not announced anything.
Well, he's a big businessman.
I don't know what he's going to do, but I don't want Dave Bing to be the...
You don't want Dave Bing?
I don't know what I want. I don't think I want...
Look, Dave Bing seems like a good guy, but is he a lawyer? Is he, you know... No.
No.
He's a guy who played basketball and was a businessman.
He started... What?
Bing Steel? Is that what it is?
Something like that. Yeah, some big factory in Detroit, yeah.
How about Roger Penske?
I don't know.
The NASCAR dude.
You know what? Whatever. I mean, it's... Look, you know... What the needs of other... What other people think about what the people of the city should do... They've never
What the city does.
What the city does are generally
they elected
not.
Martha Reeves of the Vandellas as a city councilor.
I mean, so it's just they have this long history of doing dumb shit. And although I think the suburbs and people in general thought that Dennis Archer was a good mayor, in a sense, Dennis Archer was really just a reaction to what a scumbag Coleman Young was.
I know, and people dumped on Archer, but now that looks like a golden era.
Right, so and then people dumped on Archer.
Right. And Archer put all this stuff in place, like the casino deals.
Yeah, Archer did a lot.
And Kilpatrick came in and claimed victory because all the stuff that the foundation was built under Archer, he, you know, they opened the buildings.
Yeah.
And he went, woo, it's Kwame time! And he went down to the men's warehouse and got an 8-button suit, you know, made out of purple linen.
But people, you know, wanted Kwame. They reelected him. Remember we thought he wasn't going to get reelected for a
second
term?
Yeah, it looked
bad. And then he just all of a sudden...
This really boring middle-aged guy named Morgan... no, it wasn't Morgan.
Freeman Hendricks.
Freeman Hendricks, excuse me. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
He was a Morgan Freeman type.
First of all, if Morgan Freeman wants to be mayor,
that's
come
sweet.
On up here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Let's
I'll
go, Mr.
That.
Freeman, Mr. Mayor.
How badass would that be? That would
be great.
Morgan Freeman would be
I would love
real
that.
Cool.
But, so he's about gone.
That's my name.
But this other story you wanted to talk about.
What I'm just saying is that our mayor is indicted. It's a criminal enterprise.
Yeah, he's got to go, and it looks like the time is up.
But, and it extends to our sports teams, because there's crime going on in the Lions locker room.
Yeah, let me explain this. The Lions made their final roster moves. They got down to 53 guys. Now, in that, they only kept two running backs at the time. And everyone was like, well, the Lions got to find a better running back. They kept a guy named Tatum Bell, who's from the Denver Broncos, and the guy that they drafted
a turd
in the third round, Kevin Smith. So they had Tatum Bell, and they're like, well, they got to add somebody. So they ended up cutting a linebacker, I believe, and signing a guy from the waiver, some relatively young guy.
He was a rookie. He was like a fourth round draft pick.
And then they decided to get rid of Tatum Bell and sign Rudy Johnson, who the Bengals had released. So they did this, and
and that was a solid move, because Rudy Johnson was a Pro Bowler.
Well,
he had four good seasons, and then he blew his hammy last
year. Tatum Bell had a good season 2 years ago when he played for Denver.
But that's Denver.
But he was bad in Detroit, and didn't show much in the preseason. So it's minimally, worst-case scenario, it's a lateral move. The argument for Tatum Bell is that he's younger and hasn't been injured, I guess. That's the argument for him.
Look at it this way. How many running backs have had a good season in Denver and then never been good again?
That's true. So anyway, they decide to bring in this Rudy Johnson. He shows up to sign his contract with Matt Millen, the president of Lions.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves his luggage outside the office. And Tatum Bell, who they had cut, apparently decided for... I'm not going to look into his motives. He walked off with two of Rudy Johnson's bags while Rudy Johnson is signing his contract. And they looked at surveillance film, and when Rudy Johnson complained that his bags were missing, they looked at surveillance film and saw that Tatum Bell had stolen his bags. Now, the argument is in this is because Tatum Bell has come out and said it was an honest mistake. He thought they were a teammate's bags that he had asked to retrieve.
They were Gucci bags, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were probably distinctive.
So they asked, you know, Tatum Bell. Tatum Bell denies it. Rudy Johnson has said that he won't go to the police to investigate what happened to the bags.
No, he's going to go beat Tatum Bell's ass.
But he's claiming, like, cash was missing from the bags.
They said there were $200 in cash, which is kind of light for an NFL player.
Yeah, but...
But, you know...
Rudy wasn't signed at that point.
No, but his credit cards were in there.
Yeah, and it's like... Yeah. Like, okay, either Tatum Bell's got brass fucking balls...
Yeah.
And he's just, like, brazen and would just steal things, which I actually find that somewhat hard to believe.
Yeah.
Or he's just dumb, which I have more of an inclination to believe that he's just stupid. I don't know. What do you think happened?
I think he's a tard. I think the guy ran like he had a load in his pants, and he was just a turd. He was one of the worst running backs the Lions have ever had.
He didn't get much of an opportunity to play.
He had a good game. Well, okay, Mike Martz was the mad professor who was running the
Statue of Liberty. He was never the starting running back, for one. He never got the full load of the carries.
A good game against the Raiders last year.
I'm just saying he never was the starter, so you can't sit here and say he flamed out because he never really had a chance to. But there was a reason he was never the starter.
Well, they cut him and brought him back and all kinds. So anyway, what I think they do, they put Rudy and Tatum on the goal line. Actually, you put Rudy in the end zone and you put Tatum on the 10.
Yeah.
And you let him and just see if Rudy can catch him and beat his ass. That's what I think.
You know,
you do.
Your little jokes about who's good and who's not good aside. It's just like,
why would you
steal?
And he's on camera.
Why do you steal the guy's bags?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, do you think he would be dicky enough to, like, to have in his mind, like, hey, he just took my job, so now I'm going to steal his bags?
What's he going to do with those bags?
I don't know.
On Deadspin,
it's a bizarre thing.
On Deadspin, it says Tatum Bell declares innocence while suspiciously wearing Rudy Johnson's underwear.
Yeah, it's a weird.
Because one of the bags was filled with, like, socks and underwear.
It's an odd story that Tatum Bell has really no good explanation for. And Mike Florio over on Pro Football Talk believes that Tatum Bell, because if he is believed that even if it's not proven that he stole this guy's bags, it looks like he stole this guy's bags. And therefore, he feels that no team will actually ever sign him to a contract at this point. Because he looks like he stole this guy's bags.
That's pretty bad.
And that's something you can never do to a teammate, is steal their bags.
I think it's
a hilarious story. I mean...
Well, he Tatum Bell defends himself eloquently.
What does he say?
He says, I tried to talk to Rudy yesterday, but he was pretty upset, so I let it go. I come to find out the bags weren't whose I thought they was. It was just an honest mistake.
Yeah.
Apparently, he took the bags. He claims that he was picking up the bags for a defensive end, yeah. Victor DeGrasse.
Who was cut. Yes.
And so was Bell. And he took the bags to a friend of his, of the linemen.
Yeah, to a third party.
And he said he never had to open the bag. What?
So, Corey, let's assume you...
I ain't no thief. Corey, I ain't never been one, and I ain't never going to be.
If you left your laptop here,
yeah,
I wouldn't take it to your house. I would take it somewhere.
Sure, you would take it to Shane's house.
Yeah, I would take it to some weird... Yeah, I would take it over to yeah. John Tortolot's house. Or
right,
something.
Sure.
It makes no
You'd
sense.
You'd take it over to Amy Palomar's house, and...
Okay, no one even knows who that is.
Sorry.
But here's my point. It doesn't make sense, and the guy really looks like a thief, although I will say this about Tatum Bell. The year, and just remember this when you're watching your NFL draft on ESPN next year. He was the number one ranked running back by Mel Kiper the year that he came out was Tatum Bell. And that was above guys like Julius Jones and Kevin Jones and Maurice Jones-Drew that were all in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lawrence Maroney might have been in that draft as well.
Yeah.
And, he was the number one guy. So Mel Kiper, thank you for
Mel
that.
Mel Kiper's an idiot. Tom Kowalski, who's the local insider, supposedly.
Yeah.
He had a story literally about 4 hours before Rudy Johnson signed that said, Johnson signing does not appear imminent.
Does not appear imminent. he also, Mel Kiper said that the year that Mike Williams made the draft, who was the worst flop
of all
time.
Now, that was a dunce.
He was the number one player overall on Kiper's board, not just wide receivers. He was the number one overall get that year, according to Kiper. So there you go. There's two duds that the Lions have gone with that Kiper suggested. Although we didn't draft Tatum Bell, we acquired him later. But we did trade Dre Bly for him.
Yes.
And now he's not even on our team.
It's a good move.
Yeah. Now Dre Bly is still.
Everybody was like, oh, yeah, we got a good running back for Dre Bly. But there was somebody else who was in that trade, right?
George Foster, I think.
Who's losing his job to a rookie right now.
He might. I think they're in a fierce competition.
The first five offsides in George Foster's house. Because you know that's coming.
Something's happening.
That guy, you'd have to go back to Larry Tharp to get a Lion that was called offside more.
Anyway. Well, I'm excited about football because you know what? The preseason and like training camp this year, I was so not enthused for. And I'm not saying it's just because the Lions went 4-0 in the preseason.
They were the only undefeated team in the preseason.
It's just more of a timing thing. You get to a point in the year where you just go. Last weekend, I tried to watch sports this past Labor Day weekend. I was bored fucking miserable. The Tigers were playing, and they were getting beat up by the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
And then, actually, I watched one game that they won.
You don't like college football?
College football, which is just dreadful to me.
Yeah.
I mean, did you watch the Ohio State game, which they won
by
37?
Well, okay, this pisses me off immensely.
You know, it was just all bullshit.
College football, this is, one of your strongest arguments about college football, I will back you up on. In college... since there's 5,000 teams, what these big teams like Ohio State and Penn State and Cal played Michigan State, but USC, they schedule these little division AA, 2A.
They have warm-up games.
Yeah, and they play these teams that are like, little sisters of the poverty stricken, and you're like, what? And then they put up like 66 points on, Southern Illinois.
And I don't need to watch that. And that's mostly
lame.
What was on. There was a couple big matchups.
Michigan never does that. Michigan always plays somebody decent, and then this year they lost to Utah because they had to go.
They played Appalachian State last year as a cupcake game, and they lost.
But Appalachian State was a pretty good cupcake.
Yeah.
They're not playing like Central Michigan or something,
But, college football I can't watch. Golf is just, there's some golf playoffs in golf.
You weren't watching the U.S. Open?
Wasn't the U.S. Open.
I mean, in
tennis, exactly. Yeah. Tennis, but that's like early round play anyway, even if you wanted to watch tennis, which I might watch the end of the U.S.
I
Open.
Used to watch tennis, and I look at myself in the mirror and go, what was
I
thinking?
So I'm going, I really got to watch football.
Yeah.
And so I ended up watching, I watched three of the four, but Hard Knocks inside training camp with the Dallas Cowboys, which was actually actually pretty great.
Yeah.
It's a documentary. You can't really call it a reality show because it is more of a... Mm-hmm. They don't do stagey things for the show.
Yeah.
In other words, they don't have like, who wants to be the wide receiver and they play a game and then they cut a guy. They don't do it like that. It's an actual documentary about training camp. But, the Cowboys got all these like... Who's the guy? They got Terrell Owens, who's, you know, an infamous douchebag.
Sure.
They've just not. They just now got Adam Pac-Man Jones, who is now Adam Jones. They only refer to him as Adam. So he's in the
documentary. By the way, you can't get rid of your nickname.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Bowser will be, he will not be John Bowman. Okay. He will be Bowser till the day he dies.
They've got Tank Johnson, who was suspended by the league for a year for weapons when he was playing for Chicago Bears. So he's on the team now.
Yeah.
They signed Zach Thomas on there. They've got Brad Johnson as their backup QB. They got all these like famous guys. So it was kind of fascinating to watch this. And then even their coaches are like their former, they have Dave Campo used to be the head coach. I think he was head coach right after Jimmy Johnson for the Cowboys. He's now their defensive backs coach. Yeah. So they brought back like an old coach and Jerry Jones is running around.
I hate the Cowboys and he's so much.
But it's fascinating to see all these guys interact because they're all kind of these big name NFL guys.
Yeah.
And it was actually a really good show.
If
so,
they would just make a reality show about Tatum Bell stealing Rudy Johnson's
underwear.
See,
I would love to see that.
I would watch. Why not inside the Lions? That's what I want to see.
Well, see, but if they would
that
ever
would
cover
be a great
the
show.
Lions. You know, they used to do this Hard Knocks thing every year on HBO, and then I think they moved it to NFL Network.
Yeah.
Because the first year I remember watching it, it was the Ravens right after they won the Super Bowl. Mm. And that was cool because you got to see a team right after the Super Bowl. And then it went to NFL Network, and they were covering, like, the Chiefs. And I'm like, well, fuck all this.
Yeah.
And now this year, they actually got the Cowboys, and I'm like, oh, I'll watch this.
If there's a franchise in all of sports I could care less about, it could – I don't know if any could beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the Kansas City – and it was like, that was a dull. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this. But when you throw the Cowboys in there, it's crazy. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun show. So I'm watching that.
Well, I guess so.
I'm preparing for my.
I've just always hated the Cowboys.
NFL season. But you can watch the show and enjoy the show and still hate the Cowboys.
Yeah,
I might take
a look.
The two are not mutually exclusive.
Though, for some reason, the NFL. I love as much as I love the NFL, and this is the most dorky NFL heavy show we've ever done. For some reason, a lot of those documentaries just kind of leave me more like cold. I don't know why.
All right, well, that's a good show. That's a quality show.
I'll watch Mel Kiper talk about.
They do it.
Who's the seventh best? Defensive.
Well,
lineman.
They this show though, it's done like their boxing specials.
Yeah.
They've got the same guy.
Those are good. The 24/7.
It's the same guy doing it. What's his name? Liev Schreiber. Okay. It's the same guy doing the voiceovers.
Sure.
It's not dissimilar to that.
I think Liev Schreiber will now be the new voiceover guy.
I think he's the new voiceover guy. Well, I don't know if he'll be that, but he's doing all those. He does all this, you know, and he's good at it, and it's a good show. I recommend that. Hard Knocks, Inside Training Camp with the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
It's on HBO. If you have In Demand, the entire, I'm not sure. I know there's four. I'm not sure if there's going to be a fifth, but it's good because they have like a guy who's Ray Lewis's brother. Is like he was a low draft pick as a running back, and he's trying to make the team, and he may not make the team.
Yeah,
and they show him like talking to Ray Lewis on the phone, and Ray Lewis like, "You got to be good." You know, it's fun because you know you get to hear Ray Lewis yelling at his brother. It's funny. It's a good show.
Watch that.
There's my TV recommendation.
All right,
because Big Brother is about the worst Big Brother ever. Although, without watching the After Dark, I think the CBS show has been somewhat compelling.
Yeah,
the guy from the Detroit area, Dan, is actually the best guy on there.
Yeah,
and he's a total dick. He's like dick in a good way, though.
I bailed out early on Big Brother.
You did, and you know you're fine bailing out. You're not missing a whole lot.
I watched the crap out of the last season of Big Brother.
There's no real scandals on this season.
No,
so far.
Last season they were a bunch of naked whores, and
it was great.
You never knew when somebody was going to take their top off or run around and put shaving cream on their ass.
Yeah,
you know, and then this year. They got a 72-year-old man that's
who's
in
still in the game. He's in the final.
Yeah, well, how is he not gone?
He's actually going to make the final four because he's HOH this week. So
okay, this is why Big Brother's ridiculous. Because they have these people. They put in these goofballs, right? And who won last season?
One of the
goofiest
guy
goofball
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
It used to be like Chicken George.
Adam, yeah.
Chicken George, they call it a floater, where they put a guy who's got no chance to win, and everybody thinks he's like a mascot, and they let him around because they don't think he's harmful.
Okay.
But then now it's on Big Brother. These idiots win because everybody goes after the like smart guy.
Well, that's true. If you lay back and the alpha males destroy each other.
They got Jerry.
Yeah, there's the old guy.
They had Jerry, and then what's the old
Rainey? And she's still in the game too.
How is she in the game?
She's in all likelihood going home. Probably by the time you hear this, she will have been evicted. She should be going home Thursday.
But I'm
night,
just saying. Yeah. That's what happens on Big Brother now.
But you know what?
The freak shows last
but
forever.
They got a lot of criticism when it was all whores, and they put some older people in there, and they sort of slowed the pace of the game down a little bit. And it lost you as a fan, and yet it's sort of gone back to what it used to be.
Because
maybe.
I'm not watching Big Brother for who's going to win the game.
Okay.
To me,
the gamesmanship is compelling this year, and most of that is Dan.
Yeah, see, for me, when they start talking strategy and gaming, that's when I lose interest in Big Brother. I want to see people who are in a house bored doing bizarre things.
Okay.
That's, to me, the appeal of it.
I haven't watched much of the After Dark, but the chicks aren't that hot, and the people aren't real funny.
Now, Evil Dick, I loved.
He was an entertaining guy to watch.
But after watching Big Brother intensely two times in a row, I had to just bail.
Okay, but I'm watching the CBS show, and it's not as good as it used to be, but it's okay.
Sure.
But still, TV is at an all-time low this week. This is the worst week of television ever.
You know what's worse? What was bad this week? Not just TV? Movies.
Okay,
everything's
bad. It's a slow time of year. And the Olympics ended, and so the new shows aren't back on the networks. But Survivor's going to start. Amazing Race is going to start soon.
I heard called books. Have you thought about reading
one? I'm reading a giant book right now.
That is the biggest book.
I'm about 500 and some pages into that book.
Ugh.
Do you want to discuss? I'll at least tell people what I'm reading. If you want to read
He's reading the Vincent Bugliosi JFK book, Reclaiming History.
It's called Reclaiming History. It's a college education on the Kennedy assassination.
It's like footnotes on top of footnotes.
If you want to read it, it's 1,600 pages of main text.
I give the guy credit for density.
It's a great book. If you want to know anything about the Kennedy assassination, it's in that book.
Yeah.
And it's really comprehensive. It's comprehensive to the point of being annoying at times.
Yeah, I was trying to read a little bit of it last week, and it was.
If you sit down and read it, it's an entertaining read, but it's a slow go. I've had the book for about 6 weeks, and I've read about 500 pages.
So I'm kind of, about 10 pages at a time reading that Beatles book. I don't like sit and intensely read it, but I'll flip it. I'm going to say about 650 pages into it, and Yoko shows up.
Right.
That book is really thick,
the
too.
The Beatles story, generally, though, in any book, is weighted heavily towards the beginning.
Yeah.
Because by the end, it was more. There's more stuff that everybody knows, and it just sort of goes along.
Well, by the time Yoko shows up, it's a big book when you're 600 pages in a Yoko.
Yeah. Appears. Well, the original Beatles, the only actually official Beatles biography of the band, is the Hunter Davies biography, and that actually ends in that actually came out while they were still together.
Yeah.
And it ended, in beginning of 1968.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of shit that never even made it into that book. And so, a lot of that gets repeated. It's a lot about, you read about Hamburg for like half of that book.
It's all Ham. Yeah. Oh, there was some Beatles stuff on TV. There was Pete Best had a documentary that was on Channel 56. It was just pathetic old Pete Best.
Yeah.
Walking around Liverpool going, I was famous for long. Yeah. We're running out of time. We can't even talk about Mooseburger.
What is Mooseburger?
Sarah Palin.
Oh, that's her name?
She claimed that like Mooseburgers were one of her favorite foods.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, I know. They got moose up there. Yeah, oh, God.
You were going to make fun of her kids or something.
Well, what this revealed to me is something that hadn't really occurred to me, that Alaska is this like amazing redneck wonderland.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different sort of kind of hillbilly wonderland.
Well, did you hear about the guy who said we might have a vice president from Alaska, but we still don't have an Olive Garden? That was some guy who commented from Alaska.
Yeah.
Bitching about how they don't have an Olive Garden.
So, and we all know that one of her daughters is pregnant.
Yeah.
That was a big to-do.
Sure.
I could care, but...
All right.
Here's
what I will say about that that's a little scummy. They had her hold the baby when they unveiled the family.
Yes.
Which perfectly covered her little baby bump.
Uh-huh.
Which I kind of smell a rat. I kind of smell a rat on that one.
In
but,
every
you know.
Picture.
All right.
But do you know what the names of the kids are?
No, quickly.
Bristol.
All right.
Willow.
Yeah.
Piper.
Yeah.
Trig.
Those are kids.
And Track.
Those are kind of kids' names.
And I just like...
Trig and Track is some bullshit. Though you think they're black with those
Piper
names.
And Willow. I'd like...
There's kids named Piper and Willow.
I'd like
now.
To apologize to black people right now.
No.
Because white people are naming their kids. And then I looked at Joe Biden's kids. Hunter, Bo, and Ashley. So those are some white people names too.
They're from the East Coast. All right, we got to go. Thanks for listening. Follow our Fantasy Football League, all that stuff. Play the fall some more for me, if you will, my friend. And we'll get out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch us on YouTube, reviewing awful food and movies.
Call the
and douchebag
much
hotline.
Ignored douchebag hotline at 610-552-0746.
That's right, baby. Let's get out of here. We're going to go eat a moose burger with Willow something.
Piper.
Piper. All right.
Bristol.
See you later, everybody. Good night.
People names ever.